Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you are listening to the show that is picking up steam. It's Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here in Los Angeles. My beautiful co-host out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. Show goes quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Daniel, the first of threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And I know we got a great topic to start this thing.
Hi, Mark. How you doing? First of all, thanks for having me back. I'm so excited. And, of course, everybody can get a hold of me through Instagram. I have two little handles. First one is Danielle M. Orsino, O-R-S-I-N-O. And they can hit me up on the DMs and tell me what they want to talk about. And if they want to find out more about my books, because, of course, I'm an author. I don't just talk football, but that is my favorite subject. You can hit me at Birth of the Fae, F-A-E underscore novel on Instagram. And you can always hit me up with football questions even on that one. And then, you know what? As much as I want to talk about the Giants first, I think the Jets deserve a little bit of love. So J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 let's get right into it and their win over the Denver Broncos, because I think that was a pretty good showing for them, even with the major injury to Hall. I know that we've lost him with the ACL tour tear and MCL and meniscus injury, and he's out for the rest of the season. But on a good note, they actually came right back and picked up James Robinson, the running back from the Jags, who's really an explosive running back. He might not have the speed that Hall has, but he is a productive running back. He usually averages about 4.5 yards per carry. And I think, you know, like I said, he's an explosive downhill runner, and I think it will complement the Jets. And it shows that they are looking forward and knowing what they do best. So I think overall they're going to be okay. But they're showing against, Denver, let us know that there is hope and that they're still doing what they need to do, and that is improving. And I really, you know, I liked it because in the beginning, that first half, I was a little bit like, oh, boy, what are we, you know, what's going on here? And then they came back, made the switches that they needed to, and I saw some improvement. So I was happy with the Jets' performance. What did you think of the game?
Well, I think they're good. They're road warriors. They're 4-0 on the road. They're 1-2 at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big game at home this Sunday if you look at it. New England comes in. And let's hope, Danielle, that we put the Elijah Moore thing behind us. I mean, here's a guy 6 days after requesting a trade and 3 days after he was benched. He attended meetings and practice today, so he claims he's all ready to play against the New England Patriots. The question is, does the coaching staff think he's ready to play? And if he's going to be a malcontent, and do they got to get rid of him? What's your thoughts on Elijah Moore?
They said the conversations went well. Moore did not say they went great. So I think what we're going to have to look at is how his morale is even on the sidelines. He doesn't seem to be a distraction on the sidelines. So I want to see what happens this weekend. I think everybody is focused on taking away that stigma that the Patriots have always imposed their will on the Jets. And I think now is the chance for them to finally break the curse. And if that happens, I think we're going to see a change in Moore. And that's part of it. I think Moore, as much as I hate to say this, also sees with Hall being out a chance to shine and another offensive name to come forward, which is his. So let's kind of take a look and see what happens. I don't like to make a jump to a conclusion because I think when you label a player a cancer in the locker room too soon when they request a trade, there's always a little bit more to the story. And I'm not really ready to say, yes, get rid of him. I want to kind of take a step back and see how the game progresses first and see how he does and what his productivity is in this next one, because the Pats are kind of a nemesis to the Jets. So I think we need to just take a second and see.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, but here's the thing that I look at more. The team has won 4 in a row, 5-2. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sitting a half a game behind Buffalo. Buffalo's got a big game against Green Bay Sunday night, but I can see a guy complaining about lack of targets, you know, if the team was losing, but this team is winning. And Robert Saleh doesn't show me the type that he's going to put up with this. Yeah, you can get the kumbaya said, and you can sit around the campfire. We can all roast marshmallows together. But when that fire goes out and you eat the marshmallows and you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning, what kind of attitude are we seeing here? This is a team that this can't be a distraction, and you're right. The Patriots have been a thorn in New York's side for quite a while. If they come into New York and beat them, they're back in the thick of things. They're sitting at 3-4 right now. They don't want to fall behind. Let's face it, we're talking about two of the top divisions in all of football, and both are sides in the East, the NFC East and the AFC. So the Jets need to get a clear-cut answer from Moore. What the hell do you want? And if you don't want to be a part of this, get the hell out of here, because I don't want to disrupt the chemistry.
No, and I agree with that. That's why I want to say, what do you do when you're faced with a nemesis? Do you step up? Do you stop complaining? Because everybody wants to be part of the winning solution. You know, when the team is losing, then it's easy to point fingers and say, well, I'm not getting a target. Well, I'm not getting this. But when you're winning and someone says, but I want to be a part of that, sometimes I don't take it as a bad thing. I take it as, okay, you want to be in on this because you feel you can add even more to what we're doing. Cool. Then let's see you add to it. I don't always look at this in the optics of it as a bad situation. So let's see what he does. If you're still complaining after this, then maybe it's time for, you know, we got to start looking at things a little differently. And I think they can get money for more. And with the trade deadline coming up, there might be something there. But if the Jets are not willing to trade him, then they're seeing something in him. Well, then give him the targets. Because if you're not willing to let this guy go, why do you want to keep him in the locker room? So I think there is more to this story, but let's see what happens against the Patriots. Because, like I said, you're not willing to let the guy go, but you're not giving him the targets. Why are you keeping him? You're just making a mess for yourself.
Well, as we segue over to your team, they're 6-1, and if they get past Seattle, the two games after Seattle before they head to Dallas, you got some punching bags, if you ask me, Houston and Detroit. If you get past Seattle, you could be 9-1 heading into that game with Dallas November 24th on Thanksgiving. That would be a big one, to say the least. The Giants are just – they're starting to make some noise. And, boy, what a coach in Brian DeBall there. I mean, he has restored some order there. I love what Jones is doing. You got to be happy pulling out a last-minute win against the Ravens, coming down to Jacksonville and pulling one out, and stopping them from winning the game, you know, in the last seconds there. This Giant team, I don't know if it's a trap game in Seattle, but I do know, like I said, if you get past them, you can roll the table heading into Dallas.
First of all, let me just say, the Giants, if nothing else, are at least entertaining. You can't say that they don't bring the entertainment factor and they don't give you gray hair watching them. That last 20 seconds was crazy. I mean, down to the Jags, I think they were on like the 3-yard line when I'm like, okay, this is it. They're going to punch it in. And then the defense just came up with that stop, and it was amazing. Daniel Jones is offensive player of the week. I never thought I'd be saying that, to be honest with you. Did I think I'd be saying that about Saquon? 100%. Did I think I'd be saying, you know, Dexter Lawrence is defensive player of the week? Yes, thought I'd be saying stuff like that. Did I think I'd be saying Danny Dimes? No way did I think I would say that. But the man is giving it to me 100%. I mean, he joins Lamar Jackson as one of the only players in this season with 200-plus passing yards and 100-plus rushing yards. I mean, I can't ask for more from this quarterback, and I really, at the start of the season, didn't think. I had no faith in Daniel Jones. I will eat my hat. I will tell you that. I was like, okay, we're just going to wait this season out and then get a different quarterback. That's what I thought we were doing. But the Giants, they love to make it a one-score game. Do I want to see some more production on offense? Yes. Do I think in today's NFL you can have a quarterback lead you with just 200 yards passing? No. I think we got to a little better than that. But from them was we saw Saquon just running down the defense and wearing down the Jags. I was impressed with that. Would I like to see a little more? Would I like to see more interceptions, a little bit more from the defense, our defense, in the sense of making some things happen? Yes. The loss of Bellinger was really hard. I mean, he's got a fractured eye socket. We've lost a tight end. Yes, we've picked up another one. But there's still room for improvement. Going into with the Seahawks will not have DK Metcalf, or at least that's what it looks like right now. And most Giants fans, I'm not speaking for all of them, but most of them, we all have our little thoughts on Geno Smith after Smith came in and, you know, kind of ruined Manning's Iron Man run. So I'd like to go in and beat the Seahawks, if for nothing else, for Geno Smith. I know it wasn't all him. I got all that. But, you know, it's just how it is. So I'm happy with the Giants. I think we could go in and do some damage. But even if we lose this one, I'm still happy because God knows we've won more than we won all last season in this one season. So I'm happy with the Giants, and let's see what happens this week. You know, that defense on the Seahawks is going to be rough, and that offense is high mileage and it's rolling. So we'll see.
Well,
Smith
not only
got
that,
the pass rating.
Exactly, and the Seahawks torched the Chargers. So when you look at the Giants defense, they've given up 130 points in seven games, so they got to kind of balance that out and bring it down. But when you look at, you know, the division, and we talked about it in the pre-chat, you and I, the Redskins are looking up, and they can't afford to lose. I mean, this is a division where you can still get in the playoffs. You can bring everybody in here pretty much, except the Redskins, because you're not going to get four teams pretty much from this division, I don't think. They might not be ready to get there, but the NFC is a complete mess. You know, it's a little still early to call it, but if the Giants, you know, win two of the next three games, they might be a shoo-in, because look at the NFC. Tampa is leading that division. They're 3-4 in the South. The Packers are a mess. I told everybody, keep your eyes on the Vikings. I mean, the Rams division, Seattle's sitting there. They were projected to win five games the whole year. They've won four already. They're sitting on top of the division. The 49ers are trying to get McCaffrey in the fold. I mean, when you look at the NFC, there's going to be some teams backing into this thing with maybe eight wins getting into the playoffs. Any thought to that?
I think when you look at the hierarchy of the NFC right now, it's all over the place. I mean, looking at the 49ers, they've been outscored in every third quarter this season. Just that's how it is. When you look at the 49ers at this point in time, just let's just take, you know, taking in the optics, I think Garoppolo and Shanahan are their own worst enemies together. I'm not really sure what to say on the 49ers. You get these flashes of, oh, okay, they could totally do this, and then you sit back and go, what's happening here? I mean, between clock management, play calling, I'm not sure. McCaffrey, for his debut, had 62 yards and 10 touches. Not bad. You're looking at it saying, okay, I think we could, yeah, this might be, oh, all right, I'm not so sure what's going to happen here. I'm not 100% confident, but then you look at the Rams and you go, okay, this is just a mess. What else do you want me to say here? So as for that, That division is just a complete and total toss-up. There's nowhere to go. The most shored-up division, which everybody laughed at, is the NFC East. That is looking at the hardest division there is. I mean, even Washington started out, they were, what, 2 of 9, Heineke, in the beginning? He had 21 yards. Then he had a 63-yard pick six. And then at halftime he came in, he was 13 for 16, 162 yards, and he led us, you know, scoring drives 74, 72, and 61 yards scoring drives. And he came in and all of a sudden he was just on. So the NFC East is about the only division that you could look at and go, okay, everybody here is improving from the Eagles. The Eagles are just they're unstoppable right now. That's what they look like. Dak's back. The Giants, everybody laughed at, and we're sitting here at 6-1. The only one who beat us were the Cowboys. And then you're looking at Washington, and you're, once again, flashes here and there. You go back to the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers can't trust his receiving core. He's thrown behind the line of scrimmage almost all the time. So you know he doesn't trust his wide receivers. Cobb is out. Lazard looks like he's injured. What does he have? And then Tampa Bay, what do you say? I mean, Brady's head is not in it. Let's be honest. He's having some issues. His receivers, Mike Evans was dropping passes left, right, and sideways. I mean, I felt like his gloves were greased or oiled. He was dropping it constantly, so they weren't on the same page. What do you have to say about the NFC at this point? I'm looking at it going, okay, what exactly is happening here?
Well,
so
I'll tell you what's happening here. When you look at Halloween weekend coming up here, there's some games that I scratch my head on. The first one I'm looking at is, what kind of team is going to show up in Detroit on Sunday to host the Dolphins? This team came in with big expectations. They played their first game. They played good against Philadelphia. And somewhere along the line, when they got beat in New England, they haven't recuperated fast enough. They had a bye. They went to Dallas. They got hammered. Dan Campbell, I don't know if his speech is working, but this team is 1-5 and sitting in fourth place in the NFC North. I don't know what team. They could rise to the occasion and stun the Dolphins, because the Dolphins haven't really shown me a lot in any of their wins. You know, they just barely, you know, pull one out against Baltimore. The Pittsburgh game, they pretty much gave it to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh couldn't take advantage of it. But when you look at this game, I gotta think maybe Campbell can pull one out of his rear here and beat the Dolphins in the Motor City. What's your thoughts on the Miami-Detroit game?
When it comes to Miami and Detroit, I honestly think Miami is going to pull it out. I think Miami is showing a renewed vigor. I think they want to get behind Tua. And that's, for Miami, it's about morale and proving something. And I think Miami right now has more of a will to prove something and to show that it wasn't all just a trick, an illusion. Detroit just doesn't have all the pieces quite yet. I don't think Goff is the main piece, is the big chess player for them. It's all there. I think there's too much of an inaccuracy. I think he's too unpredictable. Tua right now, if I had to place bets on a quarterback, I'm still going to go with Tua. The only thing I have to say to Tua is, please learn to slide, honey. Just don't put yourself on the line like that. But I think right now I'm going to place my bet on Miami. I can't put it on Detroit. It's just Detroit almost has the same problem that the 49ers have. These flashes of greatness where you go, oh, you know what? Okay, yeah, there's something here. There's a run game here. There's something here. Or Goff gives me something to work with, where there's a long pass downfield and there's a beautiful run route, and I'm like, oh, they got it. They're going with the RPO. Nice. And then it just goes sideways so quick, or they, you know, on the defense, they leave the edges so open. And you're going, don't you see, isn't this Pop Warner? This is like 101. What are you doing? So I just don't think the puzzle pieces are there. I don't know if the Dan Campbell magic has just worn off. I think Miami is a much better put-together team. They have more pieces, so I think Miami is going to take it.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it, but you alluded to the 49ers, and the 49ers are at the Rams Sunday. This is a team they've beaten seven straight in the regular season. The Rams got them, luckily, in the playoffs last year to move on to the Super Bowl, but this 49er team, this is a psychological thing, and now adding Christian McCaffrey to go along with Garoppolo, throw out the records, who cares that the Rams are sitting at 500 and they're a half a game better than the 49ers. 49ers don't care, and the Rams are going to have to figure out a way to get these guys in the win column. McVay hasn't beat them, and the Rams haven't beat them in seven tries. It's over 3 years, Danielle. Any thought to that?
I think right now I'm going to, you know, as much as I've gotten on the 49ers, I do think the 49ers will edge out the Rams. I think it'll be a low-scoring, close game. Once again, the Rams have outside distractions. Donald leaving his sports agency, other things going on with the Rams. I think that they have more injuries at the end of the day. I believe the 49ers might be able to edge this out. It came down to even with McCaffrey going to the 49ers, but the 49ers just didn't want the Rams to have him. And it was down to the two of them going at it for McCaffrey. And the 49ers won it out. And once again, simply was down to the fact of we just don't want the Rams to have him. You know, not that McCaffrey didn't have his merit. He did. But, you know, it was simple, I don't want you to have him, so I'm going to take him. I think the 49ers will edge this out. Do I think it's going to be this exciting, you know, gunslinger game? No, I don't. Hopefully it won't be a ho-hum game. But I think the 49ers will take it out because, like you said, psychologically, they've imposed their will on the Rams. The Rams have something to prove. I just don't think they're going to be able to prove it. And we're going to give it to the 49ers on this one.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it, too, because I think with bringing McCaffrey in there, you know, with Samuel and Garoppolo, I think, you know, Shanahan has pretty much pulled his lot of things on McVay. The Rams are at the crossroads, if you ask me. This is a team that's trying to figure themselves out. They've gotten torched by Buffalo and Dallas at home. This is another home game. The Rams, when you look at their wins, Atlanta, they luckily held them off. If the Falcons had another quarter, they would have beat them. They went to Arizona, won that game, and they beat a depleted Panther team that I don't know how the hell they beat Tampa Bay, to say the least. But
no,
I think the Rams have got some problems that has been exposed. And the teams have figured out the Stafford, you know, the Cooper Kupp route, and they're starting to shut that down.
Yeah, I believe so. I think if anything, the Rams are looking at OBJ, and I know they're saying now with his knee he wouldn't be ready to come back till December, but I believe that they're looking at OBJ a little harder and thinking we need some help in the wide receiving core. Not that I do not believe OBJ will wind up going back to the Rams. I do think that he is looking at the Chiefs seriously and the Bills. That's where I think he's going to wind up, one of those two places, because I think OBJ wants another ring, just like they all do, but I think OBJ is going to look seriously at a place of longevity with a quarterback that already has his mechanics down, and I don't think he sees longevity or another ring with Stafford. I think he sees it, obviously, with Josh Allen, or with Mahomes. I don't think he sees it, you know, anywhere else, which is why I don't think he's gonna go there. And the talk of him coming back to New York, while it's an interesting theory, you know, he could come back to New York and be the star and all that, I don't think he wants to have to work out chemistry again. Mahomes or somebody like Josh Allen, you don't have to worry about chemistry. Their mechanics and the way they operate is so smooth. That's not something he needs to do. To where with Daniel Jones, if everything is built around Saquon and the running game, I think he'd have to worry too much about chemistry, and that's not something he wants to do. He just wants to slide in and not worry about rebuilding. So I think he's going to wind up going one of two, you know, those one of two places, and the Rams, he just doesn't see it. I think he sees a rebuilding era coming and possibly, you know, the McVay era ending, and he's not going to want to be involved with any of that drama.
Well, let's look at the Denver-Jacksonville game. This is another interesting game. I think Jacksonville needs to really, you know, shut the brakes down. Ever since they went to Philly, they've had a tough go of it. They took the 14-0 lead against Philly, took their foot off the gas, came back home. Houston beat them. I mean, they went to Indianapolis, lost in the last second. The Giants beat them. So this is a team that really, you know, is going to take care of business at home against Denver. Denver is trying to find themselves. I think the Russell Wilson injury has really been hidden to a certain extent. He might not be ready to play. This offense has not got going, and it's a big disappointment this so far in Denver. Any thought to this? I like the Jags to bounce back.
I like the Jags to bounce back, but the only problem with the Jags is they're not finishers. They don't know how to finish. I feel like they go in all gas, no break for the first two, and then they don't know how to adjust at halftime. They've almost gassed out, and they're too exhausted. That when they come in for the third quarter, it's like they got a little bit of speed left, and they use it all up the quarter. They're just hanging on. And that's kind of what you saw in the Giants game. They should have been able to put the Giants away. They were in position for it, but penalties cost it to them. They had, you know, a lot of dumb mistakes They started to get sloppy, and they just ran out. They petered out. They have to learn how to finish it because they have a great run defense, and they proved it with the Giants. So they should be able to stop it, and they should have a good game against Denver. They really should. I mean, on paper, it looks like this should be a game for them to bounce back, but they have to pace themselves and finish the game. That's their big thing. They've got to protect the edge, stop the run, and then they should be okay and, you know, be able to, you know, keep the pocket and let Trevor Lawrence do what he does. And he can find those targets downfield. He's great like that. He's got a rocket. He's got accuracy. So that this should be a good game for them, but they really have to learn to finish it out and pace themselves.
Okay, let's take one more with about 4 minutes. We'll break it down in 2 minutes on this one. Pittsburgh visits Philly. I'm saying Pittsburgh can go into Philly and pull a shocker there. A lot of people think I'm crazy and I'm drinking something. No, I'm just drinking some orange juice, a little ice in it. That's all, no vodka. But I think the Steelers can pull one on it. I think Mike Tomlin, you know, can get these guys going. I think the offense is going to come unglued here as far as the fact that, you know, they've been stagnant for a few weeks in Buffalo and, you know, and going down to Miami and stuff like that. But they pulled it against Tampa. I think they can pull one in Philly to knock off an unbeaten team. And the 72 Dolphins down there will be celebrating because that will be the last of the unbeatens. Any thought on Pittsburgh going into Philly and knocking the Liberty Bell into Delaware?
No, I'm going to say I think Philly takes this. I think Philly is way too wound up. And I think Philly's going to prevail on this one. But we'll check back in next week and see how this goes.
Well, that's why we do the show. We can agree to disagree. My great co-host out there in Charlotte, Danielle Orsino, breaking it down. Danielle, as we wind this thing down, let everybody know, tease them what we might be talking about next week so to captivate those listeners, and then let everybody know how you can be reached.
Well, next week, of course, we're going to be following up on all these games. Let's find out we'll see if you're right regarding the Steelers and Philly. We'll go through all the games, check out our surprises. And then I'd love to get into what else is going on in Washington because we had that Tanya Snyder issue where maybe she got booed a little bit when she made some announcements in Washington. So I'd like to discuss that a little bit further. And then we've still got to talk about that Mike Evans controversy, which they claim was just being given a golf pro number by the refs. And we had some other ref calls going on. So maybe we could discuss the ref calling situations that have been happening this season and, you know, check out the injuries. And by then we'll also know who's been traded, who's been kept, and see what else is going on. But for now, everybody can find me on Instagram at Danielle M. Orsino, Orsino. Hit me up on the DMs. Tell me what you want to talk about or who you think is going to win or who the biggest surprises are. And then my other Instagram for my books is Birth of the Fae, F-A-E, _novel. And once again, maybe ask me a football question or tell me how much you love the Giants or don't love the Giants, whatever. I'm happy to hear.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We'll get into that Washington situation next week and the Daniel Snyder. Maybe TMZ will buy the team or maybe Weinstein's uncles or aunts or somebody will contribute and we'll get a whole story on this situation in Washington. We'll dive into it. We dove into it last week a little. They barely pulled out a game against Green Bay, so we'll dive into that more next week. But it's a situation that's going to get ugly until Daniel Snyder steps aside, and who knows what kind of owners he's going to take with him. On that note, for Danielle Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here in Los Angeles, say, catch this archive version. Tell your friends, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. We'll be back on next Wednesday, same time, same channel, 7 o'clock in the East, 4 o'clock Pacific. Until then, have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in.